This podcast is part of the Podcast Arcade Network.
Welcome to the You Choose Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Please take a moment, pause this podcast right now, and share it with someone you think would find this podcast interesting. We would really appreciate it. Please go to youchoosepodcast.com. That's the letter U, choosepodcast.com, and find the different ways that you can connect with us and how you can be part of the live event. And without further ado, let's get into the adventure you choose.
We're live.
Hey, Eddie. Finally, we're back.
We're back. Oh, not my back. We're back.
We're back. That's a and back and we're bad.
We're as bad as we can be.
Well, yeah, bad as two dads.
Hey, that rhymes. Cutting tags off pillowcases and mattresses.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh, don't you read those labels, Eddie? It tells you right there.
It says don't do it. And I go, you don't tell me what to do. You
can't tell me not to cut these tags off.
Rip that tag. I ripped it off of my teeth.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, speaking of things you choose to do, Eddie, we're going to choose an adventure today.
I love adventures, especially the ones you choose.
We're not going to do it alone because you, the viewer, listener, can help decide.
You, along with us, can choose your own adventure now to catch people up. The last time we did this, it was the game, correct?
It was. Yeah. House of Danger.
Dangerous house.
It was.
We're not talking about exposed circuitry wires and non-conforming power outlets. No. We're talking about ghosts and monkey and chimpanzees that want to beat you up and
with monocles. Chimpanzees with monocles and violins.
Who crack their knuckles just like this, and they go, it's go time. Time is it?
It's go time.
It's go 30. It's a quarter till go. That chimp was not, he was no chump for sure.
Exactly. And today, though, we're going to be in space. Then we're going to go on a mountain adventure. So you couldn't be two more opposites in space and on a mountain, or you combine
it's not a house.
Space mountain.
Ooh, the best roller coaster of all time. I don't care who you are.
How do you have a mountain in space? I never had understood that.
I mean, let's not get too technical here. I think it's a mountain that takes you to space.
Oh, okay. There we go.
That's what I'm going with.
Okay, Disney.
I'm going to make my, I'm just saying, I'm going to make my screen not lock so I can actually do this here.
Okay.
Because it's being a pain.
For those of you that are watching or new, the way it works is Eddie and I will read a page or two when we get to decision in the book. Then you chime in on the chat and let us know where you want us to go. So if you want us to go to page 18 and get in the spaceship, or do you want us to go to page 52 and get into the space shuttle or go down the stairs or whatever it is. Anyway, you let us know and you can vote. So if there's multiple people, chime in and let us know what you want us to do. And it's just lots of fun. These are old kids' books. You can't go wrong with any of these. They're just a lot of fun. And I know Eddie had these when he was a kid, and so did I. And we're reading one from Edward Packard. I'm kind of an originalist, so I kind of like his because he's the one that started it all.
Well, I'll tell you this much. On the cover, which everybody can see on the screen, but I'm going to hold up my PDF version, that scientist is having none of your bull crap.
Yeah, he's serious.
Look at him. He's like, I don't like this.
This is not...
I don't like what's happening here.
I'm not one to be trifled with.
And this is us right there.
There's us right there.
Yes, I'll touch it.
It is. That is. That's us.
Hanging out with what looks like the weirdest aliens.
We're not going to hang out with just any alien.
Don't make me hang out with normal aliens.
Yeah, I don't want normal aliens.
But yeah, no, these books they hold a special place in my heart because they're my earliest memory of having something that felt like mine. I've talked about this a bunch on the other podcasts that I help create, but you and I, Lee, I mean, maybe you remember, how old are you again, Lee?
I am 47.
What an old man you are.
I know.
I'm kidding. The idea is, so you maybe, do you remember seeing Star Wars for the first time? Do you remember seeing that?
No, I did not. I was only three when it came out. I vaguely remember seeing Empire Strikes Back in a drive-in theater, but not the original Star Wars.
Yeah. So I was born in the fall of 77, and Star Wars came out in the summer of 77. Yep. So I, you and I both only know a world that has Star Wars in it.
Yep.
You know, we can't remember, like, we remember a time before Harry Potter, you know?
Yep. Yep. Exactly. You
know, we remember a time before a lot of this stuff that's kind of hip and cool. Now, hip and cool.
Yes.
The cool kids always have known a world of Star Wars. So when something like this came out, our parents didn't know about it. They weren't in on it, you know?
No.
And so Choose Your Own Adventure books felt like my own personal, like, discuss, like my little, like, secret, like, keep your Star Wars. I'm gonna read about hyperspace with a sticker over it. It's one of those things that just felt like my own discovery as a kid. And obviously we all as kids had that as a part of our, you know, childhood, but it was just fun to do.
Oh, yeah. It's so, totally different.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Oh, blew your mind. You're like, I got 16 books in one here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Guaranteed to die in so many ways.
Oh, and it's just so much fun to figure out, okay, what's going to happen next? And like you said, you get that tingling sensation when you know, hey, I think this next choice is going to be bad or it's going to be good. You can tell you're teetering on the edge.
I may regret this choice. It's just one of those things. So I don't know how should we launch right into it? What do you think?
Definitely. Let's start. So this is hyperspace.
All right.
Hyperspace. To the next page here. Of course, you've got your obligatory. This came out in 1983, Eddie.
1983.
Here's our warning, like in every book.
Warning.
Do not read this all the way through. And then we have
a
special warning. So, ooh,
special warning.
This is the start of the book. Let me just make sure. Yes. Okay. So I'll go ahead and get started, Eddie, and then we'll...
Are you going to read the special warning?
Yes. This is part of the book. But yeah, you have a warning and a special warning with four exclamation points, Eddie. Four.
Listen, I want your attention so bad that I know what one will do. Two is just too much. Four, there's no rules. We don't care anymore.
We just tear up that rule book and throw it away. We just do whatever we want.
Exactly. I am the chimpanzee that cracks its knuckles and says, let's go.
That's right.
To your, we can only have one exclamation point.
So when we get to the decision, then just chime in on the chat. Let us know you're there and we'll do what you want. So I'll get started. Many scientists think that they have some idea of the size of the universe, how long ago it came into existence and when it might end. But no one can say whether ours is the only universe or whether there is an infinite number of universes. If there is
multiverse. The
multiverse, I know. This is way ahead of its time.
I tell you.
Edward Packard, you're genius.
Just killing it.
If there is an infinite number, then some of them may be very like our own. Professor Carl Zinke has devoted his life to finding out whether other universes exist outside of our own time and space. You're about to be drawn into his quest. To do so, you will have to enter hyperspace. Hyperspace is so strange that it almost cannot be described with words. Some people believe that hyperspace is four-dimensional space. It may be even stranger than that. It may involve a world of five or six or even more dimensions. Certainly,
how many dimensions?
I know. How many? I can't count them all.
As long as those dimensions have Lee Searcy in them, I'm going to be okay.
As long as they have Eddie. How many Eddies?
So many Eddies. There's one too many already.
There we go. Certainly the laws of science may be different there. This makes it possible to travel to another universe in an instant instead of many hundreds of years it would take to get there by traveling through the third dimension. One thing seems certain. Hyperspace is the only means by which we could reach another universe, or something in another universe could reach us. What is it like to be in hyperspace? There are many possibilities, more than can be imagined. To get one idea of what it might be like, imagine that you are an ant and that you have spent your entire life inside a large balloon. The inside of that balloon is your entire universe. Suddenly, the balloon bursts. At that moment, you've entered hyperspace. Are you ready to begin your adventure? I hope so, because it's about to begin. So there's our setup.
Special warning. You've been special warned.
So we're 9 years old and we're going to go into hyperspace.
Some 9 year olds build tree houses. Some, you know, play, you know, whatever, Mario Brothers. And we break the laws of physics and go into multiple dimensions. And who's this guy holding a weird book?
This is our guy. Do you want to take it here, Eddie?
This is me.
Yes.
For anybody who's new to this, we do this tag team style. So here I come flying over the ropes.
Tag him in.
Boom! Ever since Professor Carl Zinka, this is Mr. Carl Zinka, moved into, I guess it's professor, so he must be a doctor.
Don't offend him by calling him professor.
Mr. Zinka is my dad. I'm a doctor. You get out of my house.
Thank you very much.
9 year old. Ever since Professor Carl Zinka moved into your neighborhood, you've been wanting to meet him. You said, what kind of 9 year old are we? You've seen him a few times out for a stroll, puffing on his white clay pipe. He smokes that wacky tobacco.
Oh, yeah, that's why.
Yeah, electric lettuce, kids. Don't do it. A strange-looking little man with a few stringy hairs on his head and a gray beard cut in the shape of a triangle. By the way, I want to pause this real quick. We talked about this. When we were kids, when our parents turned 40, Lee, do you remember how the world like came to an end for them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Seriously. Yeah.
They're like, I'm 40. I'm dead.
Done. Yeah, I'm done. Time to go to Arizona or Florida or whatever, and we're done.
Right, right. We, as we turned 40, we're like, we're just getting started.
I know.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So in the 80s timeline, look at Carl Zinka, everybody. In this story, he looks like he's like 80 years old. He's probably 37 in the 80s. Like,
exactly. He's like, I just turned 32.
Exactly. 30's the new 75, they say.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's awesome.
So, cut in the shape of a triangle, his beard. People say he's a mathematical genius. You wonder what he does all day. Probably math stuff, kid.
Yes.
One afternoon, you have a chance to find out, for you happen to be passing his house as he is returning from his walk. Come in. I'm glad to meet you, he says, when you introduce yourself. I've been so busy, I haven't had time to call on my neighbors. Once again, the 80s, when a scientist could just be like, come on, hang out with me. And a kid was like, yeah.
Yeah, do it. And nobody questioned it.
Freeze frame on the high five. The professor smiles. Oh, yeah. Shaking hands, you say, I'm glad to meet you too, professor. I've been curious about your work. What an intrepid 9-year-old we are.
Yeah, we are. Oh, yeah.
The professor smiles. My work is not easy to describe. Only a few people can understand it. Well, that and one monocle-wearing chimpanzee.
Exactly.
But wait, I'll be right back. The professor hurries into another room, almost tripping over his calico cat. A moment, calico. You don't hear that word very much anymore,
no,
do you?
Not often.
Yeah. A moment later, he reappears with a book. There is a twinkle in his eye as he hands it to you. Even if you don't understand higher mathematics. Ooh!
Ooh.
Dig. That was a burn from old Dr. Yeah. Zink.
That's going to hurt our 9-year-old ego.
Man, I'm 9. Dropping that professor shade on me. You might not get this because you're dumb.
Dumb.
even if you don't understand higher mathematics, I think you'll find the pictures interesting. I think you'll find this interesting. Would you like to borrow it? You glance at the cover of the book. Its title is Hyperspace.
Title drop. Dun, dun, dun.
Boom! My brain as a kid would be like, am I holding that book in my hand?
This is it.
Right now? Oh, my God.
We have a choice, Eddie.
If you take the book, this is your first choice, viewers and listeners. So listen tight. If you take the book, thank him and leave, turn to page number 3. If you stay and talk some more, turn to page 6. Okay. So do we chat him up some more, or we just say thanks for the book,
run out the door,
go home, and then run with our hyperspace book in our hands?
Exactly. Be the talk of the town of our friends.
We have one vote for Kim stay Garrison. And talk. You're coming in strong with the stay and talk. And Carolyn coming back. Man, it's been a long time.
Carolyn. We haven't seen
her
for a
while. Man, I miss you, girl. There we go. A little heart there.
And then Al says stay.
Al says stay, but Al's answer is always stay.
Al will probably get us killed again.
Al's going to get us killed already.
But Kim says to stay too, though.
Oh, she does. Carolyn coming in with the lead. Get out of there. What like, are you doing?
Grab the book and run.
Look at this guy. To quote the song from Steve Miller Band, take the hyperspace book and run.
There you go. That's the exact lyrics. So we got two for stay, one for leave. Why don't we wait maybe a few more seconds and
we'll give it a few seconds to see if we get another vote in there. But
probably stay in unless somebody jumps in.
Yeah, stay. I mean, in the quest of should I stay or should I go now, apparently it's stay almost.
Evidently, we don't. Yeah.
So it looks like we're going to end up staying.
Okay, so and that so
here
is...
we go. So that is page six, Lee, and you are up.
Okay. Thanks for lending me the book, you tell the professor, but could you just tell me a bit more about what you do? The professor smiles. I'll show you my laboratory, but don't expect to understand much. Oh, my gosh.
He is never missing a chance.
Dig. I mean, we are nine, so.
I mean, we do smell like peanut butter and jelly.
Like, probably.
Who is this kid?
Oh, who's this kid? Get him out of here. Anyway. Yeah. He leads you through a dark, musty library. The walls are lined with bookcases that reach the ceiling. More books are stacked in huge piles on the floor. The professor opens another door, and you follow him into a small room with perfectly round walls. The entire roof is transparent, or is a transparent dome. In the center of the room, resting on a pedestal, is a stainless steel globe about the size of a basketball. Just below it is a panel on which are mounted a red lever and a green lever. Computer consoles and rows of steel cabinets faced with electronic display screens line the walls. What's that, you point, or you ask, pointing at the globe? Turn to page 15.
You're pointing to a doorknob.
Yeah. What's
that? A doorknob, you kid.
I told you couldn't understand this.
I knew you wouldn't get it.
The hypolaser, a device capable of focusing light photons into a geometric point. Professor Zinka stares at you intently. Do you know how a small geometric point is? Like the point where two sides of a triangle meet? Very small, I guess. Not just very small, he says, the professor says. His eyes shine with excitement. Infinitely small. Think about this. If you could focus a light on an infinitely small point, its brightness at that point would be infinite. What would happen then? You would penetrate hyperspace. You might puncture a hole in the skin that separates us from another universe. Then what? The professor shakes his head. I don't know. But the hypo laser is designed to answer that question. It's been ready for over a month, but I haven't had the courage to activate it. You see, I can't be entirely sure what will happen. Do you think you'll ever try it? The professor points his unlit pipe at you. My whole life's work has been devoted to this. It would be unthinkable to turn back now. Still, I must confess, I feel as if I'm about to jump off a cliff. Here's where we come to a decision, everybody. If you urge Professor Zinka to activate the hypolaser, turn to page 8. If you advise him not to risk it, turn to page 9. So do we activate the hypo laser or do we risk it? What should we do?
While you are parsing and deciding on your answer, I want you to use the hashtag on tonight's episode comments, Zinka Shade.
Zinka Shade.
Because that hashtag Zinka Shade.
Yes.
Because my God, this guy has a doctorate in throwing hate to nine-year-old boys. Not boys, children.
So Jesse says, never pierce the universe's skin.
He's not messing around. Don't pierce that skin. No guts, no glory.
From Al Garrison.
Oh my God. Fire that laser. Hypo laser.
Activate.
Pew, pew, pew. What's the worst that could happen?
Kim. So Kim says, Al and Kim have been on the same opinion two times in a row.
They're not a house divided yet.
Zinka Shade. Hashtag Zinka Shade.
There it is. Hashtag Zinka
Shade. There it is. Hashtag Zinka Shade.
First for Kim.
So Kim, what do we got?
100,000 covert nerd coins.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'll give, since she was the first one to do it, the hashtag. Yep. Carolyn says activate it. I was expecting worse. Okay. So we got activate from Carolyn, activate from Kim, activate from Al. Jesse says no.
Jesse says don't do it. He's in the minority, so I'm turning to page 8.
Turning to page 8. But since Jesse,
I don't know about you.
Do we give Jesse extra votes or not?
Give him extra votes? No, I'm just kidding. Page 8 looks rough. Did your page 8 look terrible? I can read it, but barely.
Let me get there. It must be a bad scan. No, I can read it. Do you want me to read it?
I think I can do it. Here we go. Science must go on, Professor. We are a brave kid.
We are gutsy.
That's our answer for everything, by the way. It's like, should we clone this human being, 9-year-old boy? Science must go on. Go on,
for sure.
We will play God.
We don't ask if we should. We just, or was the Jurassic Park quote, you should have asked why instead of if you could.
You didn't stop to think about whether or not you could, whether or not you should. It's like, that kid doesn't even think about that. He's like, why haven't we done it yet?
Yeah. What are we waiting? We should have been done yesterday. Come on, Professor.
He takes it to the next level. Science must go on, Professor, you say. The professor gravely lays a hand on your shoulder. You have courage and you're an idiot. You have given the courage. I must maybe you should read this before I change my mind. Yeah, you should read this. This thing is horrible. That's fine.
You have courage and you have given me courage. I must act before I change my mind. You start to worry about what might happen if something goes wrong, but it's already too late. The professor pushes down on the red lever. You feel the electric charge in the air. The professor's face freezes in the beginning of a smile. You can't move a muscle. A loud pulsating hum is coming from the steel globe. It rises in pitch until your ears are assailed. Your ears have been assailed, Eddie. Assailed by an electronic cord. Zinc chain. Electronic cord of incredible magnitude. The professor dives to the floor. You try to do the same, but it's no use. You might as well be encased in ice. An instant later, you black out. Turn to page 20. All right.
Should I take a stab at 20? See if that's
Let's see if 20 looks a little bit better for you.
I got some bum scans on this one.
We got Doug Holmes.
Doug Holmes coming in. It does sound like love. Slowly you come to. All is calm. And you can move around freely. You look dazedly around the room. Like you, the professor is lying on the floor. He's unconscious, but still breathing. Both of you must have been knocked out. Now that the danger is past, though, or you're a ghost, or you're dead right now.
Dead.
You regret not actually reaching hyperspace. Where did you come from? The voice behind you sounds strangely like your own. Turning, you're astonished to see someone who looks exactly like you. Where did you come from, you answer. It worked. I did it, the professor leaps to his feet. What do you mean, you ask? We've crossed into another universe. Or, he points to your double, you have. How could that be, you demand? It looks like our universe, except for this kid who looks like me. Yes, how could it be, asks the other you. It's not surprising. Then the other two, the other you starts to try to kill you.
Kill you. Pulls out a knife.
And the Star Trek, like the old school Star Trek music starts. What do you mean, you ask? You've crossed into another universe. Or, he points to your double, you have. How could that be, you demand? It looks like our universe, except for this kid who looks like me. Yes, how could it be, asks the other you, who's just as annoying. It's not surprising, the professor is flushed with excitement. If, as I predicted, there is an infinite number of universes, then there must be some that correspond almost exactly to our own, even in such details as having a professor like me and a kid like you. Lucky us.
Oh, yeah.
This phenomenon would occur in a parallel universe. Then where is the other professor, asks the other you. Turn to page 11. That would be you, sir, at this point.
All right.
This is when the murderous professor comes out. Ha! This is
the, the evil one. Hey, this is, I think this happened to Kim.
I think it
did. This is how she became a twin, she said.
This is how she became a twin.
Oh my gosh. Kim's already been in hyperspace.
And as we know, your twin is obviously the evil one.
Uh-oh.
Professor Zinko is like, Professor Zinko, I'm Professor Stabbo.
Didn't in those old Star Trek series, they would just give the evil one, well, like the evil twin in Knight Rider, he had a mustache.
Yeah. Yeah, in Star Trek, they all had goatees.
Goatees, there we go. That's what it was.
Goatees, yeah.
All right.
Which, by the way, it's good advice. All you out there, don't trust anybody with a goatee.
Exactly. No way.
No way.
Obviously, says the professor, he didn't make it. He pauses a moment, unless it was I who didn't make it, and we're still here, and it's one of you who came from the other dimension, the other universe. So, how can we tell which of us is from the other universe, you asked. The professor pulls at his triangular beard. You should go outside and look around for differences. To one of you, things will look exactly the same. The other will notice that some things are different, because it's unlikely that the two universes are exactly the same. Do you want to come with me? Asked the other you. You're confused. Is this really happening? Or is the professor playing a trick on you? Maybe he's hypnotized you. Talk about jumping to conclusions.
I know, right?
So here's a decision. We got three decisions here. If you decide to go exploring with the other you, turn to page 56. If you decide that you're in another universe and that you should reactivate the hyperlaser and try to get back to your own universe, turn to page 5. If you decide that you are still in your own universe and that you'll just walk out and go home, turn to page 24.
Wow. There you go. You got a few there.
Lots of options.
I'm Doug Holmes may be onto something. You got roofied. The professor just dumped a bunch of party drugs in your
Yeah, I think so. Oh, man. Like, never go home with strange people. Stranger danger.
Yeah. Yeah, don't trust the kid.
Yeah. So Al says explore.
Explore.
Al says explore. Get out there and explore, young lad.
Yeah. Listen, I have full confidence in the Eddie universe we're in now. I could easily take on my parallel clone.
Do you think you could win against your parallel clone?
Yeah. I think so.
Oh boy. Oh, what if you're the parallel clone?
Only I know my what's that?
Yeah, what if you're the parallel? Yeah. You're the evil Eddie.
Oh my gosh, what if I've been the evil one the whole time?
All this time. Okay, so Kim says explore. What can go wrong? Oh no, she's starting to sound like Al.
Al and she have been in sync this whole time.
I'm scared. Be afraid.
I'll take Zinc Shade.
Zinc Shade. What's Doug say? Chris Hansen. I didn't catch that. Chris Hansen wants you to
catch a predator. It's Doug, riding the line again. It's a family-friendly show. Come on.
Yeah. Okay, so Doug says reactivate. Kim and Al both say explore. And Jesse says just don't trust that kid.
Don't trust the kid. Yeah.
So I suppose Doug or
I suppose we have to go explore.
Kim, because Kim and Al said we got two. So that would be.
Oh, we got two reactivates now.
Oh, Carolyn.
Two reactivates, two explores. Oh, we need a tiebreaker. Oh. Jesse, clarify what you mean by don't trust that kid.
Yes.
There's
so
three choices here, man.
We got Jesse to break the tie. Jesse, we'll give you 500 Covert Nerd coins.
500 Covert coins can be in your account now.
Now. If you break the tie, or if anybody.
Break the tie. Hashtag break the zinc shade tie.
Break the zinc shade. I love that. But yeah, that professor, he's got a doctorate in slamming or shading.
Oh. He's like, I got a double major. One in astrophysics and one in making fun of your mother.
See ya on my diploma.
Yeah, it's on my diploma.
Jesse says go home.
Go home. That doesn't help us out at all.
Okay. Well, are we going to have to flip a coin maybe?
I say we need to do the flip the coin. Flip okay. The covert nerd with the patented. We need to make a coin. We still have to
I
make
know.
A coin.
I know. Yeah. I need to spend my covert nerd coins more wisely, evidently. The conversion rate's horrible.
The conversion rate's horrible. Like yeah. they become, it's like worse than a car. The minute you walk out of the market with
a covert nerd coin,
it drops in value like 80%.
Yeah. Drops faster than a GameStop stock.
Exactly.
Okay, let me find.
So go ahead and like flip your coin for us. Can we see it flip?
Yeah, I'm gonna throw it over here. Let's see here.
Here we go, guys.
All right. Okay, so what are we gonna do, Eddie?
Heads, we reactivate. Tails, we go outside to explore.
Okay, tails, we go outside to explore.
Yeah.
Tails, we go outside to explore.
Let's do it. Oh, Lordy. This is where we have to choke fight our clone.
So that is 56.
56. You walk out the door with the other you. Sure that the two of you will become good friends. After all, you are exactly alike. You even have the same name. So is what you know. Yeah. We often despise in others that we see in ourselves. Today's philosophical minute. Everything seems the same as it was back home, except for one thing. The sky is green.
What?
I'm afraid we're in your universe, you say. Maybe you'll know better when we get home, your double replies. The other you shows you the way home, the same way you've always gone home. You find that the house looks exactly like your own, so you move in with the family of the other you, which nobody has caught off guard. Wow. Which is also just like your own. In time, they get used to having identical twins, and soon you find life very much the way it used to be. One day, you get a phone call from Professor Zinka. Our universe will be in cosmic alignment only 3 hours from now, he says. If you wish, I can return you to your own universe. Just come to my laboratory at least an hour ahead, a half hour ahead of time, so I can adjust the equipment. Turn to page 60, which my book refreshed itself again for some reason. You want to take that page 60 or do you mean to keep reading?
Sure. No, I can do it. You run to tell the other you what the professor has said. I want to go back, and yet I want to stay here, you say. What do you think I should do? I'm torn between those choices, too. Answers the other you. I would hate to have to leave. On the other hand, I don't want to lose your only chance of returning to your own universe. What would you do if you were I, you asked. I'd ask you to decide. Then decide for me. I decide to stay if that's what you decide. If you were me, says the other you. Boy, this gets confusing.
Right?
Let's see. Go to 55.
The two of you talk and talk, but you can't make up your mind, nor can the other you. We're both indecisive. All we did was reinforce each other's weaknesses. We're nothing horrible.
Come on.
In fact, you're still discussing the situation when the professor calls to say that the time of cosmic alignment has passed. You have lost your only chance to return to your own universe. You live on though, and very happily on the other Earth in the other universe with the other you.
Oh man, the end.
You know, the upside here, we didn't die.
No.
I mean, maybe we die eventually, but of old age and happiness.
We want to stay away from that professor anyway. He just hashtag Zinka saves, according to Jesse
Zinka
now.
Zinka stinka is more like it. Zinka stinka. The sky is green? The sky is green, bro? That means Jesse and I, being two colorblind individuals, sorry, Jesse, to throw that out there, every little sensitive. We can't see the sky. We can't see the sky.
Yes, green. You and Jesse need to do a song together that says you can't see the sky.
I mean, they have that song by ELO, Mr. Blue Sky. No, not in this universe.
No, all I see is gray.
Yeah.
But Al's right. Yeah. We didn't die.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Kim, not too pleased with it. What the absolute fudge? But we didn't die. We live on. We live on with an exact duplicate of us.
This was a very philosophical, but in somewhat, I wonder, this is very Steven Spielberg-ish. I wonder if he read this when he got the Back to the Future idea with the kid and the professor.
Yeah.
I'm kind of wondering. Carolyn's
great here. Your parents think that you're dead.
Yeah. So, hey, you know, that's true.
Yeah, in the other universe, there's a funeral
going on
that's happening right now for a missing kid
and a professor in handcuffs going to prison because he was last seen with the professor.
Yeah, exactly.
He's doing 30 to life.
That's the other story. They never found the kid's body.
And the professor's like,
"You don't understand. He's in another dimension.
You don't know. I got the hypo laser or whatever."
And he was a piece of, he was annoying. He did you all a favor and you know it. Ah!
How come our professor has a German accent now?
I don't know. Hashtag right. Zinka stinking.
Zinka stinking. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, man. Oh, so let's go to the next one. We're going to get out of hyperspace.
And we're going to go to. This is the Al Garrison life story, Mountain Survival.
Yes.
This is basically Al's school years. It's like, hey, what's life like living in Colorado? Well, you run away from bears who are trying to kill you. You have avalanche chases. You have to climb rocks all day long.
Wasn't he?
And you run away from
first in survival mountain survival course class.
Yeah. His name in mountain survival school was. Not so Grizzly Adams.
Not so Grizzly Adams.
Not so Grizzly Garrison.
Oh, man. But yeah, this is Mountain Survival by Edward Packard again. So we're going to get started. And yeah.
Now, I do want to point out this one thing. That's an airplane that exploded, by the way. I just realized this.
Crash.
That's an airplane that's exploding, and you're just like running away from it. Like you're in the sky. Like.
Well, maybe it's a helicopter that's crashing towards you because in the middle is the airplane crash with like the oil spilling out and
man.
And then you're climbing a mountain running from a bear. And then you're, so yeah, Al had helicopters crash at him, bears chasing him, climbing rocks and then freezing in the snow.
That sounds about right. You mean to crack this one off here?
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get started with this one.
Here we go. Mountain survival.
Oh, so now we're French instead of German.
Now we are French. We're exploring. You and your pilot, Jake McKay. I won't do that to people. You and your pilot, Jake McKay, are flying over the Canadian Rockies when the engine begins to sputter. Thank you. Suddenly, you're caught in a blinding snow squall.
A squall.
Not a storm. Yeah. What seemed like a beautiful spring day has turned into a wintry nightmare. Hashtag Nebraska.
Yes, exactly.
What seemed like a beautiful spring day has turned into a wintry nightmare. We're going down, Jake cries. Because Jake always yells that out no matter what's happening.
Of course.
Do you want me to keep going on this one?
Go ahead and go to the first decision.
Jake is able to set the plane down on a smooth, grassy area just at the timberline. It hits the ground hard, bounces once, and slides into a grove of stunted pine trees. The left wing smashes against a tree, and the plane spins wildly around, then suddenly stops. Fortunately, you are not hurt, just shaken up a bit. But Jake's ankle seems to be sprained. He can't put any weight on it. To make matters worse, the radio stopped working on impact because the radio is cheap.
Cheap. Radio Shack.
The radio was from Radio Shack. The two of you huddle down in your seats. Jake has wrapped his injured ankle in a red plaid scarf. Why red plaid?
Right.
Because that's, we care.
That's what I was wondering. We want to know what color the scarf is.
Was it plaid? I'm afraid we were pretty far off course, he says, his eyes scanning the map, because I'm a terrible pilot. Our only hope is for you to make it to that ranger station we saw on the way in. I'd say it's about 9 miles east of here. Go there yourself, sprained McGee.
No kidding.
It looked abandoned from the air, but if it's like most of the stations in the area, It's stocked with canned food and an emergency radio transmitter. You look over at Jake. You know he's trying to encourage you. I'll go, you tell him, because I'm nine.
Nine.
You listen carefully as he explains how to send a radio distress signal. Jake does his best to smile past the grimacing pain of realizing that one day he's going to die alone.
Exactly. Eaten by bears.
That was just a frontal squall that hit us. Now he's a weatherman all of a sudden. Hey, are you as good a weatherman as you are a pilot?
Uh-oh. Because that's
why we're in this situation, Jake.
Squall.
You're a squall. That was just a frontal squall that hit us. Look, the sun's coming out. You better get going so you can reach the station before dark. You check your backpack, which holds a light sleeping bag. Every kid needs one of these. A poncho, a day's supply of food. Not how I eat, son. That's one meal. Matches, and a first aid kit. You are wearing a hooded parka, wool socks, gloves, and a good pair of hiking boots. The right clothes for a long hike. After making sure that Jake is comfortable, you strap on your backpack, say goodbye, and shoot him in the chest.
That's awesome.
And start walking away.
Oh, man.
You set out at a brisk pace across the high, rugged land. Since it's almost noon, the sun must be in the south. If you keep it on your right, you know you'll be headed east. Back in the 80s, when we just knew how to navigate.
Yeah. No problem.
9 miles doesn't seem like a long distance. On a gentle, well-groomed trail, you could easily cover it in 3 hours. But in these mountains, it could take much longer. Within an hour, it has become cloudy again. A cold north wind has sprung up. The temperature is falling. We must be in Nebraska. You flip up the collar.
Not the Canadian Rockies. We're Nebraska.
You flip up the collar of your parka, trying to keep warm. Now ahead of you, you see what looks like an animal trail running north and south. Alongside it, blocking your way, is a high rock wall, too steep to climb. The shortest route around the wall would be to cross the roaring stream to your right. The stream is about 10 feet wide with water boiling up in a white torrent. Boiling?
Boiling?
I don't know. You can't judge its depth. It's 10 feet wide. Probably you can get across it by jumping from rock to rock, but one slip could put you in a lot of trouble. The safest thing to do would be to follow the animal trail through the pine forest to your left. But that would take you in a northerly direction, possibly far out of your way. If you decide to follow the trail to your choice time, kids, get ready.
Get ready.
If you decide to follow the trail to your left, turn to page 8. If you try to cross the stream, turn to page 7.
Oh, boy.
Merrily, life is but a slip on the rocks.
Ooh.
Skull, don't do it.
You know, quoting Ghostbusters, don't cross the stream.
Don't cross. Ooh.
Hey, Doug had a good point here. He has an uncanny knowledge of Ranger Station inventory.
Yeah, me thinks he knows too much about Ranger Stations. Maybe this whole thing was a setup.
Ooh, could be. It is the 80s. Stream, Carolyn says, never cross the stream.
There she goes.
Right there.
Doug coming in with the stream.
Al says, cross the streams.
We have 2 votes for stream. Three votes for stream.
Oh, my.
Man.
So I think we're going across the streams here. I'm having trouble seeing the bottom of the page on this. So
all these something make me want to stream. Make you want to stream.
Brisk all right. Pace.
What page was the stream?
Page 7.
So there you go. That's you, sir.
I got that one. Get to page 7 here. You walk along the raging stream, looking for a place to cross. In a little while, you come to a section that is strewn with boulders. You tighten your backpack and leap from rock to rock. You're almost across when your right foot comes down on a loose rock, throwing you off balance. Here's what Eddie said. And into the icy water. Spray flies in your face as you frantically clutch at a jammed log and then half swim, half wade to the opposite bank. Turn to page 9.
Uh-oh. I'm scared. Okay.
You're soaked to the skin and shivering so hard that you can barely breathe. You try to warm up by walking, heading southeast along the base of a rock cliff, a rock wall. If you can find a place to scale it, you can head straight east again toward the ranger station. But your plunge in the stream has left you badly chilled. You're not sure that you can go on. There is some brushwood and dry pine branches nearby. It might be a good idea to start a fire and dry off completely. You thought you had plenty of matches, but one pack is soaked, and the pack that stayed dry has only one match left. Oh boy, I can know where we're going now.
Yes.
Should you use your last match? Maybe it's more important to keep moving. If you take time to build a fire and warm up, you may not reach the ranger station before dark. If you stop to build a fire, turn to page 11. If you continue, turn to page 14. So, do we start a fire or do we just, you know, tough up and head on, keep on going?
That's a good one. Two choices.
Doug and Holmes, a new hashtag
coming your way,
said his middle name is Danger.
There you go.
Jesse says Extreme. Oh, Extreme. I get it. Oh, Kim said to cross the stream. Ooh,
here's our new hashtag. Hashtag cookies and stream.
Cookie and stream. Oh, cookies and stream. New ice cream. Okay, Ben and Jerry's, take that one. All right. Al says, suck it up.
What does that mean?
Oh,
do we start the fire or do we not?
Jesse, we didn't start the fire. Oh,
Jesse Kiefer, Billy Joel. Clear violation of no Billy Joel lyrics on this podcast.
Uh-oh. We're taking away 500 covert nerd coins.
You owe us 500 covert nerd coins. You know the rules, Jesse.
No Billy Joel. Hashtag Billy Joel. References.
We don't do that here.
We do.
Everything else.
Phil Collins, but no Billy Joel.
You can quote Phil Collins all day long. You get extra. Okay. I'll bake you a cake. I'll bake you a pie.
Whoa. Whoa. All right. Brent's in the house. He says, burn, baby, burn.
Burn, baby, burn. See, that's not a Billy Joel reference.
Doug says, right, so Smokey says, don't light the fire, fool.
That bear.
That stinking bear.
He's a bear. He's never cold.
Kim says she wants a fire.
Jesse doubling down. I love him. He is the lunatic I'm looking for.
Exactly. This is the droids you're looking for. All right. So anyway.
Let's count these up. We got don't start the fire. One, burn, baby, burn. Don't light it, light it. I think the light it's have it, right? Keep moving.
Carolyn says keep moving.
So we have a 3 for don't start the fire.
Yeah. Doug says his puns go on for the longest time.
That's where this Billy Joel thing is going to be the death of me.
It is. Yeah, you're going to hear Billy Joel everywhere now. So anyway.
Because if he starts a fire, he can do an Uptown Grill.
Oh! Uptown. Oh, no. This is the Billy Joel live hour.
Uptown Grill. All right. So we're going to not start a fire. Is that the idea?
Al said to suck it up. So Al said suck just up, to continue. Buttercup.
All right. And, page 14. Here we go. Is this me?
Carolyn said to keep moving. So one, two.
So is this me or is this you?
Three. Yeah, this is you.
Okay. Here we go. Page 14, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Good job, guys. Good job. You continue on skirting the southeast edge of the rock wall, looking for a way up, but the cold wind penetrates your wet clothes. Your teeth clatter as you stumble on, hunched over against the cold. Your vision begins to blur, and you're getting short of breath. A sure sign that everything's going great.
Yeah, that's fine. Just keep going.
Your legs feel like rubber. You stumble over a rock and fall. You try to get up, but lurch crazily from side to side, then sink back to the ground. You lie there in a heap, shaking, too weak to look for shelter. They're torturing us in this book right here.
I know. Wow.
Dimly. Oh, little shout out to a podcast there. Dimly, you realize what has happened. Your body temperature has fallen dangerously low. There's no doubt about it. You have the symptoms of advanced hypothermia. Your body is losing heat faster than it can generate it. If only you had started a fire and warmed yourself. Now it is too late. The end.
And all you have is our backpack. I love that image.
Did you see what Jesse Cole said?
Only the good die young. Oh, Jesse, only the good die young.
Hypothermia is for wimps, I guess. That's probably true. We died. Al probably should have started. You guys said suck it up. Suck up what? The hypothermia? Because we did.
Brent. Let's see. Where is his? Sounds like my senior prom.
Yeah, legs turned into rubber and you were losing heat faster than you could generate it.
That's the 80s. If you only didn't cross the stream. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Ghostbusters are right.
Yep. And Kim, you know, Doug, we should have burned the book.
Burned the book.
Kim wanted to start the fire. Yeah. No, she did. The fire would have kept the. That is the first thing they teach you in any sort of survival, is like, find a way to make fire. You're gonna always need fire.
Yeah.
Why would you not start a fire?
Because we listen to the people. The people speak.
We listen to the people. Yeah, we make the rules, but we just follow what they tell us to do. Well, so to recap tonight, because in this you know podcast, once we die, now we'll come back to these books one more time, right?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
how we do.
Yeah, we're gonna come back.
So we'll come back to these books one more time and do another go through. Try to not repeat our past decisions. But in this, we keep track of how many times we died tonight. We did not die the first time, although in the other, our original universe, they probably thought we did die.
Yes. And the professor got arrested.
Yeah. He did some time in jail.
Yes.
Carolyn, I didn't like
the kid.
When Eddie was in Bluebirds, it's the first thing that he learned. Exactly. But I was in Brownies. First thing I learned,
start a fire.
And we died a pretty horrible death.
We did. Oh, yeah.
Because you know what happened is we slumped over dead.
But animals, like you said, care. Why are you sending the 9-year-old to the ranger station?
Right.
But I guess he did. He did have a broken ankle or sprained ankle, but
with a red plaid scarf across.
Scarf. It, so yeah. All that he finds is the red plaid scarf. When they find the other guy.
I hope your ankle's okay, Jake. Hope you're doing okay, buddy.
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Look at my red plaid scarf. It's great.
Yeah. Oh, I'm healing up great. Thanks. You know?
Yeah.
He's probably got like a cooler of food. He's chilling.
Yeah. He's just hanging out there.
Where's that kid at? Where's that 9-year-old I sent to go to the ranger station?
Oh, yeah. I did send that guy out yesterday. I wonder what happened to that guy.
Oh, funny story. He died 30 minutes after you sent him out.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. I hope the wolves got him.
Like an hour later, Jake's like, maybe I shouldn't have sent a 9-year-old to go do this. Maybe that was a bad idea.
Maybe that was a bad idea. But
you shouldn't have worked on the radio a little bit.
We'll come back in 2 weeks and we'll give it a try. And hopefully we don't die of hyperthermia.
Let's try to avoid dying again. Yeah. And like you said, you found a whole treasure trove of more books.
Oh, yeah. You can go to archive.org and you can get pretty much all of these if you want and take a look at them and check them out and see what we're looking at and follow along.
And we discussed also reading, what was the Adventure Quest books?
Endless Quest. There's a ton of them from the 80s.
Yeah.
There's G.I. Joe ones. There's Transformer ones. There's Choose Your Own Nightmare. That's more of a horror genre. All sorts. There's even a Star Trek one, Eddie. We'll have to try that one since you're a Star Trek fan. There's a series called Which Way, and they did a Star Trek one. So we'll have to try that one and see if the evil Shatner has a goatee or not.
You know he does.
Oh, of course.
Well, I'm really happy that everybody joined us tonight, and that was super fun.
Yeah.
Stay tuned to any announcements on Covert Nerd or Eddie and the Star Cruisers for announcements on when the next podcast is or the next live video is coming out.
Sure. And like I said, chime in. Let us know your puns. Let us know your decisions. But Eddie said no Billy Joel songs. Absolutely.
I mean, if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. Well, it's been fun. Hey, thanks, everybody, for joining in. And like Eddie said, just go to the Covert Nerd Facebook page or Eddie and the Star Cruisers, and we'll announce when the next Choose Your Own Adventure Live happens. So thank you, everybody. See ya.
Good night.
Thank you for listening. It means a lot that you took the time to hear what we have to say. Please go to youchoosepodcast.com for all the different ways you can connect with us and how you can be part of the live event. And until next time, you choose the adventure.